All right. The court calls United States v. Schlock. I hope I did okay with the name.
Chief Judge Baker, members of the court, I'm Captain Amanda McNeil. Mr. Philip Cave and Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Potter and I represent...
Can you bend the thing down? Good.
First Lieutenant Christopher Schlock.
Can you hear him back now? Okay. You can do that all over again or not, depends on what you want to do. Okay, go ahead.
Sexual contact under Article 120 does not include touching by an object. Basic principles of statutory interpretation demonstrate this in three ways. Under the plain language of the statute, sexual contact may be accomplished by parts of the body. Second, Article 120's statutory scheme is coherent and consistent for purposes of this case. And third, the line touching may be accomplished by any part of the body was deliberately added to the definition of sexual contact for this version of Article 120. It must be given meaning. This court's analysis from McPherson applies here. As in all statutory construction cases, we begin with the language of the statute. The first step is to determine whether the language at issue has a plain and unambiguous meaning with regard to the particular dispute in this case.
Now, wouldn't that start with any touching?
Yes, Your Honor.
So how do you define touching?
Neither Article 120 nor Article 128 define touching. Touching is not defined in the MCM.
But then where would we go to figure out what touching means?
Just the common understanding of it.
And does the common understanding dictionary definition of touching include touching with an implement? Or include whatever, contact with an implement?
Your Honor, it could. Most of the definitions that I've seen refer more to hands or to fingers to discuss the sensation by the person doing the touching, feeling the other person that they are touching or the object they're touching.
Would you agree that some dictionary definitions of touching include with hand, foot, and or an implement?
Yes, Your Honor.
And if you contest that?
No, Your Honor. And if that's all there was, that would be a different case.
So then your thing is to read the last clause to knock out that definition?
Your Honor, that last clause clarifies the definition. It's both permissive and it's restrictive. It says may be accomplished by any part of the body, and that's making it broader than the previous versions, which had said by hands or fingers or something like that under the sexual contact or sexual act statute. It is clearly making it more broad. It's saying any part of the body may accomplish the touching, but it's still restricted to any part of the body. A stethoscope is not a part of the body. And whether the statutory language is ambiguous is determined by three things. Reference to language itself, so touching may be accomplished by any part of the body. The specific context in which the language is used, which is Article 120G, the definition section, and the broader context of the statute as a whole, which is Article 120. Unless otherwise defined, words take their ordinary contemporary common meaning. And Barrage from the Supreme Court in 2014 stressed that especially in the interpretation of a criminal statute that's subject to the rule of lenity, we cannot give a text a meaning that is different from its ordinary accepted meaning that disfavors the defendant.
Why doesn't your reading lead to what some might view as an absurd result? Or would your reading exclude touching with a glove?
To allow touching to include an object, even though Congress didn't put that there, would lead to an absurd result. Somebody throws a dodgeball intending to humiliate.
I get that part, but what about with a glove?
Your Honor, we believe that under the definition, it seems like it would still cover a glove. It says through the contact, through the clothing and through the glove could be read to be similar.
What about then with a prophylactic?
On the same logic, something that seems less than clothing, more than direct.
What about a prosthetic hand?
That would certainly be a harder case, Your Honor.
So you concede it would be a harder case under your analysis if somebody has a prosthetic device at the end of their arm?
I do.
So you're saying that there's some question in your mind about whether that would constitute a touching?
I do not know of case law that determines whether a prosthetic hand is capable of touching. That's something outside the scope of what I'm familiar with.
So wouldn't it make sense to do a more common sense approach, looking at the dictionary definition that seems to, as you concede, it seems to encompass touching with an object? Wouldn't it make more sense to go that route?
At a minimum, Your Honor, that shows that this is ambiguous, and that isn't the final step. If it was ambiguous, then we would turn to Article 120G, the definition section for the context of the case. Touching under sexual contact doesn't say or by any object, but the definition of sexual act does. Those are the two definitions, the first two definitions in Article 120G to provide the context. And we must strictly construe the statute as we're looking. It makes sense to look at the words. If the words don't clarify it, look within that definition section. By seeing the next door neighbor to the statute say, by any part of the body or by any object, clearly, if they had meant that, they could have said that and did not do so for the definition for sexual contact. Looking back at the prior version of the definition, both the reenactment canon and the surplusage canon are telling, because the reenactment canon states, if the legislature amends or reenacts a provision other than by a consolidation or restyling project, a significant change in the language is presumed to entail a change in meaning. And then for the surplusage canon, no provision shall be construed to be entirely redundant. The only possible way to read this the way the Army Corps or the government would like to is to mean that this line means nothing at all. To say touching may be accomplished by any part of the body was deliberately added, and it must be given meaning.
Wasn't the meaning that it doesn't have to be by your hand?
The meaning that it can be accomplished by any part of the body, but it doesn't extend to something that Congress didn't say, which is by an object. From an Air Force case, Valentin, they discussed the six different proposals that were contemplated for the prior version of Article 120. And sexual contact could have included touching of the victim by the accused or by any object controlled or held by the accused. So even in the prior version of this, there wasn't a version of it that was contemplated that specifically included object. They chose not to go with that one. So neither.
Would this conduct, how might this conduct otherwise be charged then if it's not covered here? Assuming it's criminal conduct, I mean, is it covered elsewhere?
Yes, Your Honor. In general, touching with an object falls under the assault definition under Article 128. What's different about sexual cases, sexual contact and sexual act, is that there's a specific kind of touching. We're focusing on the offender, not the victim, and there has to be the specific intent. This is a much, I think it's widely agreed that the sexual offender registration is a very serious effect of a conviction, and that distinguishes just a normal assault by battery from a sexual contact. So when looking at that, that's part of the analysis. This isn't just an assault by battery. You have to rise to the higher level of having this intent, having it be something specific that the offender does. And it simply cannot be that you inadvertently commit a sexual contact. But to allow the extension of this definition to also include objects would permit an inadvertent sexual contact, and thus the registration for the sex offender. The dodgeball example, a bully throws a dodgeball at the groin of an intended target to humiliate them. That's with the proper intent of humiliation, groin, proper area, and with an object, the dodgeball. If that ball makes contact, that bully is now a sex offender, according to this definition, the way that they would like to expand it, and that can't be.
You throw something and your has not at all connected to your body, is that touching?
It's one step further than touching something held by your body, but it's still causing the victim to be touched by an object. And that's what this umbrella of sexual contact created by the Army Court leads to. And that's the opposite of what Article 120 was amended to do. Article 120 focuces on the offender, not the victim.
What about the fact that the analysis, which admittedly is non-binding, treats the amendments as leaving them significantly unchanged? In other words, it seems to say that whatever the effect of this tack on sentence, the definition's unchanged from before.
2 points on that, Your Honor. The analysis to the MCM doesn't overcome the surplusage and reenactment canons, in that this language was added deliberately. It was to clarify, and it has done so. While it was something before, all you could tell from the middle version of 120 was that there was an intentional touching.
Well, we can all concur in one thing, and that is that this statute is a total mess. but we have to take it as we've got it.
Yes, and that's the holding in Wilkins, which is courts are confined to the definitions formulated by Congress and can't change the outcome of a case because they think Congress would have wanted to include a broader range of behavior than was actually prescribed.
Well, I'm not, but that's not really responsive to my question. Somebody thought that this didn't make a change. The somebody who wrote the drafter's analysis, the analysis. What's your response?
In the prior version, the middle version of 120, there's a fair argument to be made that it didn't cover touching by an object either under sexual contact, so that the outcome wouldn't be changed by this. But that line was added, and it makes it more clear.
Okay.
So the prior version of sexual act said hand, finger, or by any object, and in the new version of that, it's by any part of the body or by any object. They were expanding it, and in the middle version, you don't have a definition in sexual contact, so you would have likely referred to sexual act. And so the same thing as you go through to the next version of the statute, if there hadn't been that line, you would likely still refer back up to the sexual act. That line was added just for sexual contact to explain how that touching may be accomplished, both so that sides wouldn't argue that it had to be a hand or a finger, so they didn't want that, but it's still limited to any part of the body, and the rule of lenity prevents it from being read opposite to that. If they had, if any other thing could have been added to that list, they wouldn't have started that list. They just meant to list all of the different parts of the body. There are basically three different things that you look to if you decide that there's a conflict in what the original language says. You look to legislative history, you look to the statutory scheme, and not reaching the absurd result. And here, all three of those favor us. By looking at the legislative history, we see a version of this that included or contemplated the idea of an object that wasn't selected. We see a line that was added to make it clear that it was restricted to a part of a body. And then we see the rest of Article 120. There's no reason to look to 128 because 120 has its own version or its own definition of bodily harm. There's, I think, some confusion in the opposition's logic in that since we look to bodily harm for the force element, we should also look to Article 128 for everything having to do with 120. But as I explained earlier, this is a very specific crime, specific intent, with a much harsher punishment. So there's no reason to look outside of Article 120, which offers the proper definitions, and even if you were looking at the force element, defines bodily harm in its own right. And third, the absurd results we talked about. While it's definitely a harder case with a prosthetic or with something else like that or something that an object that we think has a sexual connotation, that's still not what is prescribed by Congress. And because of that, in this case, we can't read a new word into what wasn't written there. And I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Granted. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Counsel of the government, please.
Chief Judge Baker, members of the court, may it please the court, I am Captain Carrie Ward, and with Major Janae LaPierre, we represent the government in this matter. This court should affirm the decision of the Army Service Court because they accurately interpreted the language and the meaning and the legislative intent of the new Article 120 as it relates to abusive sexual contact and the definition of what constitutes a touch under abusive sexual contact. This is supported by both the plain language of the statute, even reading it in its totality and comparing it with the definition and explanation of what is penetration, and it coincides with the legislative intent. Now, the new changes to Article 120 effected in 2012 were designed to align Article 120, a sexual assault, with the general definitions of assault, which is found in Article 128. It changes words of culpability to unlawful force, and aligns the elements very clearly requiring an action, then how it is offered, and then the causation of bodily harm. The only addition under a sexual act is the intent itself. So that is the actual element that would essentially work as an aggravator and take you out of the realm of Article 128 assault into Article 120. Looking at the language, as far as what can constitute a touch under abusive sexual contact, it is derivative from what is defined as a sexual act. Now, in the subsection, specific to the subsection, in an explanation of what is penetration, the legislation did include the phrase may be accomplished by any part of the body or by any object. Well, the reason for that is that you have rape, and rape requires contact to contact between the genitals, vulva, mouth, anus. And then other major sexual assaults that would fall under sexual assault include not just contact between genitalia and the defined body parts, but also including the penetration, however slight, of an object. So distinguishing that specific conduct and then what can be in addition for the purposes of penetration. Then looking at abusive sexual contact, it's a catch-all. So we have it broken down into two different forms. One, if you're involving the litany of body parts that are included under the first section of abusive sexual contact with the intent to humiliate or degrade. So causing a bodily harm.
Why have that last clause at all?
Your Honor,
what's that doing? Because the plain definition of touching would seem to include any part of the body. So what is that thing doing there?
Well, I think because it has to be a sexual act. So if a sexual act is requiring some kind of contact between the genitalia, then it needs to be expanded. So you can affect an abusive sexual contact with any part of the body. That does not exclude an object. It expands it to cover the intent itself. So again,
why did they have to put that in at all? Why wouldn't A, touching, and B, any touching cover any part of the body? Seems like gratis language.
Yes, Your Honor, it does. But this section is below, so it would apply to both subsections of sexual contact, both A and B. The first, which is restricted to certain parts of the body of the victim, and then the second, that is any touching whatsoever. So it would clarify that it can be affected by or may be accomplished by any part of the offender's body as well.
But that... It still seems to be surplusage because that seems to be adequately covered by the other language. So what's it doing there?
Yes, Your Honor. Reading it in this context, this case is a good case to take a look at it and see that is slightly confusing. But it is, again, I think it was designed to explain what is abusive sexual contact beyond the traditional sexual acts that are otherwise defined. Now, is it superfluous? Maybe. But it's not a mandate. So it says touching may be accomplished by any part of the body, leaving a permissive language for interpretation. And then accomplished by any part of the body does not exclude maneuvering an inanimate object to accomplish a sexual act. Now, and then again, under subsections A and B of abusive sexual contact, it uses the word any touching. So you have mandate words within this statute itself that while this final sentence may be extra, it's not necessarily conflicting. It's the plain language, you wouldn't interpret that by identifying the absence of words when that absence of words is in conflict with the mandates of A and B.
I'm a little confused.
Yes, sir.
Along with the statute, I guess. You earlier said that the language is slightly confusing, and you just said that it's not in conflict. So how do you balance those two statements out?
Yes, Your Honor. It's confusing because of a question like this. So if the language was accepted, I mean, there is a similar sentence in the definition and explanation of what is penetration. So reading those side by side, it can look like Congress had a similar intent. But because there's no rule of exclusion. So when you...
Well, the confusion part came because the questions were, why isn't it included in the current language of A and B that a reading could presumably include it? So why would they even want to include that, the last new phrase? And your response there was, oh, that could be a little bit confusing.
But I believe it's confusing because we've over-legalized the question. So when the military judge took a look at this question and then restricted, I don't see this as an offense under Article 120 or Article 128. It was an oversimplification of just basic legal terminology.
If it is confusing, then why don't we look to the rule of lenity?
Well, the rule of lenity, Your Honor, is a rule of last resort. And again, the plain language here, the government's position as far as plain language is that it is clear. But if you want to interpret the absence of words, that's not really a plain language analysis at that point. So we need to do a little bit more. And at that point, we should turn next to legislative intent. The legislative intent on this is very clear, that they wanted to align Article 120 with Article 128. They used the same words of culpability to ensure that there was proper notice as far as what constitutes a touching and what constitutes consent and what constitutes those affirmative defenses. Now, when those words are used, and then it was the legislative intent as explained in the analysis to this, it's the intent. So you have an assault, otherwise it would just be an assault. But if you have that intent, which has a sexual component to it, it's going to fall under 120. That's the aggravator that gets you into a 120 offense. So if I have the specific intent to throw a dodgeball at somebody, and my specific intent is to hit them in their genitals because I want to humiliate or degrade, that could be a sexual assault because my focus is on the genitalia. So it is the intent itself that separates this from Article 128, and that is what the legislative intent makes clear.
So, is that what you mean by your statement on the page on page 7 of your brief, that the statute contemplates various levels of separation between the offer and the location of the battery on the victim? Because it wasn't clear to me what you were talking about there. It's from the bottom.
What are the degrees of separation?
It says offense does not require direct contact, et cetera, et cetera. What do you mean by that?
I suppose that was also slightly inartful, like the statute. I was referring to either directly or through the clothing, that it contemplates it's not going to be skin-to-skin contact or genitalia to another body part type of contact. Yes, ma'am. And then if there is any question, we would also take a look at statutory construction as it flows throughout the entire manual. You have bodily harm, which means any offensive touching, and again, you have that word any, which means all. So if Congress wanted to limit that in some way, they should have used words of limitation. Now, what is an offensive touching is not defined under Article 128, but there are several examples included in the manual, and there are many cases that we've had from this court that show that an object can affect any offensive touching. Being shot with a bullet, the bullet is what causes the actual impact, the actual touching itself, but it's not controlled by the body. So it doesn't distinguish under the definitions of bodily harm or descriptions of what is a touch between object and body. And then I would also ask this court to consider maybe accomplished. So if it may be accomplished by the body, you know, a stethoscope is an inanimate object. It's not going to move itself into the form of sexual assault. And although the question of intent is not really before this panel because the panel did find the sexual intent for appellant, I mean, that's important here. If you take a look at the facts of this case, it really shows you how this has to remain in Article 120, that the slight ambiguity in an extra sentence doesn't undermine the words of mandate within the statutes themselves. This is a medical provider that stage by stage asked a soldier who was there for medical treatment to remove her clothing, over and over getting increasing exposure of her breast, and then having her turn her face and close her eyes and relax so she couldn't see what he was doing as he was maneuvering an inanimate object, a stethoscope, on her breast.
And how is all of that relevant to the definition that we're looking at here?
Well, it's relevant, Your Honor, because, I mean, it is an offensive touching. So it was a touch without consent for that purpose. And
I'll charge it under 128.
Which would undermine legislative intent. So if legislative intent is to take the specific intent that has a sexual component and place it under Article 120, that's where this case belongs. I mean, it comes down to the vulnerability of the victim. So we're protecting...
These are all policy arguments for Congress. You know, we've got to parse the law.
Yes, Your Honor, but it would be inappropriate for this court to move from a plain language analysis to an analysis of the legislative intent, and then again through statutory construction within the entirety of the manual.
I was sort of in on the creation of this mess, and believe me, there wasn't much legislative intent. I can't speak to the amendments thereafter, so go ahead.
I mean, what the appellant is asking you for is the application of the rule of lenity. There is much for this court to rely on to understand that the specific intent is what separates an assault into sexual assault. To find otherwise would create a vacuum. So if you have a person that stands in front of his victim and ejaculates, and I don't mean to be vulgar, but ejaculates on her feet, so you have evidence of sexual gratification, and he doesn't touch her with any part of his body, and it's just the fluid. Is that not a sexual assault because it doesn't satisfy this one extra line, touching may be accomplished by any part of the body? So the accomplishment is conducted by the body itself. So looking at common sense, plain language, Webster's dictionary of what is a touch, the rule of lenity is inappropriate in this case. It is a rule of last resort. There is not an ambiguity such that the appellant was not on notice of what he was defending against. He was defending against the touching of her breast. So the government requests, pending your questions, the government requests that you affirm the decision of the Army Court.
Are there other questions up here for now? Okay. Thank you, counsel. Sure. Counsel for the appellant has the opportunity for rebuttal, please.
Back to dodgeball.
I'm sorry?
Back to dodgeball. The government said that to throw a dodgeball at somebody's genitals with the intention of hitting their genitals should be 120 because of that intent to hit the genitals. But this reading would expand it further than this, because to Bravo, any touching or causing another person to touch any part of the body. Because this line, touching may be accomplished by any part of the body, applies to A and B, a reading in this fashion would allow somebody trying to hit somebody in the stomach with the intent to gratify or to intent to humiliate. That ball goes south, hits them in the genitals, this would still fall under this statute, and that's the absurd result that we simply cannot get to. The United States Supreme Court didn't say in Barrage the rule of lenity was a last resort. It said that the courts can't give a text a meaning different from the ordinary meaning when that disfavors the defendant. And it said nothing about it being a last resort. If this, as the government concedes, is a confusing statute or a confusing line and part of it, the rule of lenity must apply here. And that means that a stethoscope is not a part of the body. That's not something that anyone would be on any notice to assume, that when this line says a sexual contact may be accomplished by any part of the body, they also wanted to include stethoscopes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Are there other questions, please? There are no further questions. Thank you, counsel. The court thanks both counsel for the case. It's now submitted, and we'll stand in recess until further order of the court. Thank you very much.